here with Erdem Koca of Koca Guitars, and his favorite guitar is the one that he built.
Hey, everybody. This is Kyle Sasser, Great Things Tampa Bay, and this is episode 30. And today, we're doing an interview with a local guitar maker that is a luthier, for those with the vocabulary app on your phone. So the gentleman I'm interviewing today, his name is Erdem Koca, and he is from Turkey originally, Istanbul, and has been making guitars for years, currently based in Tampa, and does some amazing work. And I found him on Instagram, Koca Guitars. It's also on Facebook. And yeah, does some amazing work. He's also partnered with some other local luthiers here that are doing some amazing things. And yeah, I hope you enjoy the interview. It was definitely interesting and eye-opening and a pleasure to do.
Hey, everybody. This is Kyle Sasser, Great Things Tampa Bay, and I am here with Erdem Koca of Koca Guitars. And he's originally from Istanbul, Turkey. He was involved in the film industry for 8 years and has been a luthier for 10 years. And for those of you that don't know, a luthier is someone who builds musical instruments, and in this case, guitars. And yeah, he's also played guitar for 30 years, and his favorite guitar is the one that he built. So, does all that sound right and accurate?
Well, yeah, we obviously have inspiration from all the great brands and models from the 50s and 60s, but we're trying to refine them and make it our own.
Yeah, touch them up, little customizations here and there. And if I just look around the workshop here, just beautiful, beautiful woods and craftsmanship.
Thank you.
So, well, let's start at the beginning here. How did you get involved with making guitars?
It is funny. When you're a guitar player, you go to workshops all the time, you know, swap a pickup, make some adjustments to the neck, stuff like that. And I did that for 20 years, and I really liked that environment. You know, those guys working slowly with the instrument and make it perfect for the player. And also, you know, creating something from lumber, a functional and beautiful instrument, which will, you know, create music. It's, you know, unbelievable stuff. So it's like one summer when I was in film industry, I was like, maybe I should try this. I should apprentice with a master. And I did that, and I couldn't leave the workshop after that.
Yeah, you know, that's definitely a good indication that it's something that's going to be good for you long term, is, you know, you develop that passion with so quickly.
True. I don't know if it's an overstatement, but luthier is not a choice. It's a calling, they say.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a little bit of mystery about, you know, people who craft musical instruments. So what's one thing that you wish that everyone knew about instrument building?
Just listen to your luthier. Listen to him closely. Just trust him. And because we've been doing this all our lives from, you know, I don't know, 10 years, 20 years, whatever the time is, starting from early in the morning to late at night, this is what we do. This is what we think. So obviously all guitar players, they have something in mind. They're playing their instrument. We have respect for that. We're guitar players ourselves. But we are doing this for a living, so trust us. Listen to us. Listen to our explanations and recommendations.
Yeah, so it's like if someone was building a house, you wouldn't just, you know, command people to put things there, you know, here and there. You would actually, you know, respect the fact that they know how to do the framing and to put the roof off without it flying off in first hurricane.
True. Exactly. So because we had those crazy ideas ourselves as well, and we tried them and we failed. So, you know, you can trust us.
Yep. So what's the craziest thing you tried that didn't work out?
Just, you know, trying different woods for different parts of the guitar. Mm-hmm. Trial and error. And, you know, some things, it's a miracle. Wow, it's so great. But then otherwise, you know, it's a failure. So we do this, we try it. And this is not only me, obviously. There are maybe thousands, tens of thousands of luthiers around the world, in every region. And they're using all different types of woods for all different types of musical instruments.
Yeah.
And now that we have internet and social media, we're sharing all that information with each other. So, and we're getting that information, we're thinking about it, we're dreaming about it, we're designing in our dreams and everything. So,
yeah. So do luthiers share both their successes and their failures?
Some of them.
Some do, some don't.
Like in everything, yeah.
Well, a lot of times, you know, because I've had a few businesses, and a lot of times it's better to know what's failed than what succeeded, because it's like you can spend most of your life following failures, but it's like if you know somebody else has tried it and they're like, you know, you can kind of cut that, unless you have some novel approach that's going to make the result different.
True.
And just as a entrepreneur, failures are just, you know, steps along the path.
As important.
Yes.
As important as the successes. Well, the successful part is just if you just examine those guitars, they're still with us for even after 50, 60 years. Mm-hmm. Some guitars are still with us. They're not changed that much. So obviously those are the successful designs.
Yeah.
But then they're again from 50, 60 years ago. So we have to change them a little bit. You're not using the same car. You're not using the same phone. You're not using the same technology.
Yeah.
On any other side of your life. So why in guitars? Mm-hmm. We have to refine them. We have to make them better if we can. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're trying.
What's an example of a new technology that's a lot better than it was 50 or 60 years ago?
For example, glues are much better now, much stronger.
Okay.
We're not using the hide glue anymore.
Ugh. Sorry, I have done some woodworking in my day, so hide glue is a pain in the ass.
Well, some people are still, I mean, some luthiers are still using it. For example, violin makers are still using hide glue. Some classical guitar makers maybe are using it for gluing the top, stuff like that. But electric guitar making, we don't use it anymore. We have stronger glues. Or maybe we used carbon fiber neck reinforcements in the neck, along with the truss rod, just to make the necks more strong and stable, especially if you're in Florida with all humidity and everything.
Oh, yeah, things move a lot down here. And for those of you that don't know, the truss rod is...
It's a rod in the neck to adjust how the neck is straight, or if there's a little bit of relief on it, to make it comfortable for the player. We use that for adjustment, but sometimes it's not strong enough, especially after maybe 5-10 years.
Yeah.
We want the neck to be stable. So those carbon fiber rods are making that we glue them with epoxy.
Oh, interesting. That's just an
example.
I was going to ask if it was done like a fiberglass layup where you lay it on, or if it's a rod that's epoxied in somehow.
That's being done before too. Just composite material guitars, aluminum guitars, resin guitars.
Luthiers like trying things.
Yeah, we're trying to, good thing about electric guitar design is it's free. Just like rock and roll, anything you come up with, if it's good, it can stay. In classical music world, it's different.
Yeah, well, they've been around a lot longer than electric guitars as well.
True, and their repertoire is the same. So playing style of that repertoire has to stay the same as well. So the instruments should not change in their mind as well. But, pop music, rock music is not like that.
Yeah.
We like change. So we can change and redesign our...
Frequent change.
Yes, we can redesign our instruments and we can try different materials. It's no problem.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Fascinating. All right. So is the bass guitar the unsung hero of a rock band?
Well, yeah, there are many jokes about bass players and drummers. But bass is so important. With the drums, it's the foundation of the song most of the times. But you don't hear it that much if you don't listen to it.
Yeah.
It's, something like that, but it's really an important part of the song and the band. I mean, you understand if the bass player is not playing.
Yeah.
You will figure it out. There's something, it's hollow, empty sounding, whatever.
It's almost like the heartbeat to me a lot of times, like when listening to music. Like I know the drums are obviously more of a heartbeat, but to me, like the bass actually kind of carries
True.
Carries a lot of it.
If he's not playing for some reason, if the jack input is problematic, and if you don't hear him, you will understand there's something wrong with the sound. Yep. But if he's playing, it's no big deal.
And you do make custom bass guitars. Well, yes. Tell us about the guitars that you make here.
Okay, so I started this 10 years ago, and I've been making electric guitars and bass guitars and semi-hollow electric guitars for 10 years. I made about 100 instruments so far, and it's my 10th year now. I also repair guitars. First guitar I made was a classical, but just because of the fact I mentioned, I understood that I have to make that design again and again and again, and I can't change that design.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the players, the conductors, the people in that community is not happy.
So classical is like an acoustic guitar, right, with the big body and all that stuff?
Yes.
Hollow body. And,
yes. Yeah. So that's why I picked electric and bass, so that I can make my own designs, make my own touches. Mm-hmm. And that's what I did. I have 7-8 designs, models. So I make double cutaway guitar, single cut guitar, semi-hollow guitar. Same thing with bass guitars. You know, I'm trying to reach the blues guitar player, the rock, the metal guy, and the jazz guy.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to stay in just making electrics and basses so that I can be a master on building it. Because there are so many types of guitars. You have the acoustics, you have the classical, you have the fretless.
Yeah.
You have the jazz. You have the 12-string fretless semi-acoustic bass guitar.
And then what was the one that I couldn't think of the name of?
With the Dobro, yeah. Maybe. So there are so many instruments. And if you're making only a couple instruments per month, I mean, how are you going to be a master of all of those things? I mean, it's just lifetime of working. So I picked one road, and I'm trying to, perfect that design.
Awesome. So you're here with Guitar Repair of Tampa Bay.
Yes.
And this is your workshop, and you're also partnered with a couple other gentlemen as well, right?
Yes.
They're involved here?
Yes. So it's pretty awesome. When I moved here like 8 months ago from Istanbul, I was just visiting local luthiers here, and I bumped into these guys. And this place, Guitar Repair of Tampa Bay, Mick Donner and Ben Chafin, they're awesome people. They have been working in the industry for 35 years. They've worked in major brands like Gibson, Dean, Peavey, Marsh, Washburn.
Okay, so yeah.
So, and then they opened their workshop like maybe 10 years ago here. And they repair guitars here and they make guitars here. So I just, started talking to them, and they were like, yeah, if you got a space here if you want to work with us. And that was awesome for me. They welcomed me here. So I've been working here maybe for 4 months. I'm repairing guitars here, and I'm also making guitars. And I just shipped a guitar to Istanbul, by the way.
Awesome. Sending it back home.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, speaking of Istanbul, you did say that you did make instruments for famous performing artists over there. I'm going to try and not murder this name. Jim Tungesh?
Tunjay? those guitar players are, nationally famous, like Cem Tunjer, like Emre Kula, Selim Işık. Guitar players and bass players that are famous in Turkey, obviously you don't hear them here.
Yeah.
So much talent here as well. So they're not globally famous. But yeah, I was lucky enough to make guitars for the bedroom guitarist and also the stadium guitarist.
Yeah, and that's good. To me, that's proof of, that your craft is
hopefully
at the level it needs to be.
Hopefully, yeah. I was just texting with a customer this morning. He wants to replace the pickups. So I'm going to send him some pickups from here to a guitar that I made over there. So it's still a process.
Awesome. Well, tell me about your favorite guitar currently.
Well, honestly, all those guitars, like the Fenders, the Gibsons, the PRS, they're awesome. They're the standard. But then there's many small-time builders around the world, and I'm following them on social media, and they're awesome because they're doing something different, and they're pushing the envelope, like Collings in USA. I really like their work. They're amazing. Or Matsuda, an acoustic guitar maker from Japan, or Michael Spalt from Germany. I mean, you can be anywhere in the world nowadays, thanks to internet and all those connections, and you can make those beautiful, beautiful instruments, different designs. It's like they're turning it to an art form, almost. So yeah, many small time boutique makers are making a difference right now.
Yeah. So what's the difference between, like, let's say like a Fender or a Les Paul and like a guitar that someone would get from you?
The major difference is customization. So what, let's say you've been playing the guitar for 10 years, 20 years, and you played all those guitars, the Fenders, the Tellys, the Les Pauls. And there are some things that you like on those guitars, but you want to combine all of those features on one guitar. That's where we step in and make a dream guitar for you. So it's not going to be the best guitar for everyone, but it's going to be the best guitar for you.
All right. So it's definitely like almost like a custom tailored suit.
Exactly. It's tailored to your needs, to your wants, to what you like aesthetically, the visuals, the tone, the ergonomics, everything we consider, and we talk to the customer. You know, sometimes it takes 10 minutes if the customer knows what he wants exactly. Sometimes it takes months, you know, back and forth, trying to figure out what he really or she really wants. And, you know, the wood choices, the pickup choices, all the hardware, how it should look like, how much it should weigh. Yeah. You know, it's so funny. Some people like really light guitars. Some people want especially heavy guitars.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, if you don't play guitars a lot, you probably don't, you know, when you see them from the front, they all kind of look the same.
Yeah.
But just like the way that the neck feels in your hand and the distance between the strings and the fretboard, which is called like the action, right?
Yes.
So yeah, like that can be either very high where you have to put a lot of power into it to bring the string down. So that is all customized by a luthier.
So you understood by now, I'm a guitar fanatic. You know, I've been playing the guitar. I've been playing the guitar for so long and I love this instrument. I've been thinking about this, like, why is the guitar the most popular instrument in the world? It's not the best designed instrument. It's not the perfect instrument for musical education. Maybe the piano is better. So why is it so popular? I think it's because you can personalize it that much. You cannot personalize a violin or a piano that much.
Do they even do custom paint on a Steinway? I think they all come in black.
I think it's against the law to do that. So, but as you're saying, all those small design features, customizations, we are able to do them on the guitar.
Yeah.
And those little touches make a lot of difference to the player.
Yeah, and obviously you can make a lot of great music with it too.
And all kinds of music.
Yeah.
That's the great part. I mean, from, you know, technical death metal to, you know, folk music, to from blues to progressive music, like everything and anything you can play with the guitar, that's the beautiful part.
And even cracker music, right?
Yes, the cracker caster.
Yep. So, so he was telling me this in our pre-interview interview. So they make a custom guitar here that's pretty special to the Tampa Bay area. So would you like to tell
us a little bit? Yes. Ben and Mick, the owners of this workshop, they have this brand called Cracker Caster. Mm-hmm. So Crackers were the first cowboys in Florida.
Yep. So back when it was all cow country here, they were the cowboys in Florida were called crackers because they cracked whips behind the cows.
Exactly. So they got the name from that. And the idea is they're using all local woods from Florida. So for the body, they're using Florida cypress. For the neck, they're using Florida ash. And for the fretboard, they're using Florida rosewood, which is from Davis Island, which is amazing. So,
because the Davis Island is not exactly forested.
No.
So how do they come about?
They planted some rosewood trees, maybe in the 50s. I'm not sure about the exact date, but they planted some rosewood trees on Davis Island because the flower of that rosewood tree is beautiful.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
Yeah, so when a storm comes, when the tree goes down, we salvage that wood and make fretboards out of it for our cracker caster guitars. And the amazing thing is Ben and Mick, who worked in this industry for 35 years each, make those guitars here. So they're made in USA guitars from local woods. Pickups are made in California, and all the hardware is very good. And they have a great price point, which is our area code, 813. So for starting from 813, made in USA guitars, which is amazing.
Yeah. So for $813, you can have a handmade, locally made guitar made from all local woods, and the fretboard comes from Davis Island.
You summed it up great. Yeah, that's.
And I'm gonna have a picture of this thing up on the website. It's pretty awesome,
and it's pretty popular too. They have like 20 in order. They're trying to finish them, but you know, it's just people love this guitar, really.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome. So I have to ask, because this was in the news recently. Do you have any smash-proof guitars?
There's no such thing, as far as I know.
All right. So for those of you that don't know, the movie Hateful Eight that came out a little while ago, something like that, they were lent a 145-year-old guitar by Martin, I think it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's this old acoustic guitar, and basically Kurt Russell smashes it.
There's a pretty funny clip on YouTube. People should watch this.
Yeah, well, I'll put a link to it in the show notes here. So it was Kurt Russell and
Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Yeah, and do you want to paint the picture of the scene for us?
Yeah, so they're in a bar, and Jennifer is playing the guitar. And she's a guitar player, actually. She's playing and singing. She's good. But then Kurt Russell, for some reason, gets upset and picks the guitar up and just smashes it. But it's an old, old, vintage, very valuable guitar, 140 years old.
Yeah.
And apparently he doesn't know it's the real thing, but it is. So all those companies, Martin and Gibson, they have a new rule now. They're not lending their instruments to Hollywood anymore.
Yeah, and when you watch the scene, like the look on Jennifer Jason Leigh's face, like, she's like, "Oh my Christ!
Oh my God!" I think she knows it's the real deal.
Yeah.
Maybe Kurt Russell doesn't know, or maybe he knew and just did it anyways for the sake of the movie. I don't know.
He seems like a guy that just does not give a shit. So maybe.
Maybe.
So all right. Well, okay. Well. Is there any challenges you've experienced, like as an immigrant starting up a new business here? And
no, not really. I mean, this country is built by immigrants, so it's same process for me. I love it here, honestly. I love Florida too. And you know, the reason I picked this place is when I moved to USA is not only my brother has been living here for 15 years. But it's really, the weather is nice, people are super nice, and that lifestyle, I lived in Istanbul, 15 million people city for
major,
so long.
It's a major metropolis.
Yeah, I didn't want to go to New York or LA, that, you know, big city is, you know, I'm over it now. So I love Tampa Bay area. Mm-hmm. And no, I didn't have any problems. People are always welcoming me here, and I love it.
That's good. So temperature-wise, how do we compare to Istanbul?
We have four seasons there.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Not here.
Yeah, we nowhere near that.
No. No, but I love hot weather. I'm very, I'm built for hot weather. Mm-hmm. So I was born on July on 85 degrees. Right. So I'm used to it, you know.
It's a nice balmy Mediterranean day.
Yeah.
We love it when we get 85 here. I don't know if you know that or not. 85 is winter. So if you had someone that was looking to get into instrument making today, how would you tell them to go about it?
There are a couple ways of doing it. There is no one correct way. You can apprentice with a good luthier for sure. That's the common way of doing it. There are some good schools too. You can go for a couple months or a couple years. That's a very good way of doing it as well. But then most important thing is it has to be in you. You really, really have to want to do this. So I didn't go to school. I didn't start study with a guitar maker. I apprenticed with an oud maker. So I learned guitar making by myself, internet, books, YouTube, reverse engineering. So if you have that itch in you, you'll do it anyways.
Yeah.
But the best way is, I think, working with a master, apprenticing with a master, or just studying in a school.
Mm. Are y'all taking on any apprentices here currently?
Sometimes, you know.
All right.
It's really hard to find people who really devotes their life into this.
Yeah.
It's not something you'll do for half an hour and you'll become a master. It's not like that. Woodworking is really hard to master. And
yes. So I do have some experience woodworking.
Yeah.
And yes, I saw a picture on one of the woodworking forums I'm on. This guy had built a completely enclosed, fully mitered floating shelf. So it's like, and a miter is like a 45 degree corner, mm-hmm. so you don't have to show the end grain. Mm-hmm. So he had miters on all the corners and then on the face to inset the face, which I have attempted. Mm-hmm. And it is extremely difficult to get it to look right without a lot of putty, which is my my go-to. So to be able, and a guitar is very important. Everything has to fit together because mm-hmm. it's under a lot of stress.
True.
From both the strings and the...
Tension of the strings, yes.
Yeah.
True. It has to be really strong. The neck and the body has to fit each other perfectly. Even if it's set neck or bolt-on neck, doesn't matter. It has to be a tight fit. The neck has to be consistent and the body has to be balanced for the player to play. I mean, when you're making a table, you consider some ergonomical features, mm-hmm. but when you're making a guitar, then you have to think about the tone as well. So everything changes between 45 millimeters and 50 millimeters.
Yeah.
So
because the wood is vibrating a little differently.
Exactly,
at that point.
Yes. And when you're making a custom guitar from different woods, trying different pickups on it, and a certain player is playing, it's an adventure.
Yeah. That's awesome. How can people get in contact with you?
Social media is the best way. Koka Guitars on Facebook and on Instagram. I'm trying to be pretty busy. Mm-hmm. And also, as I said, we're in Guitar Repair of Tampa Bay. We're repairing and making guitars here, so people are welcome to take the tour here.
Awesome. And we'll have all those details in the show notes. So Erdem, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me here.
So again, I'd like to thank Erdem for taking the time to sit with me and do that interview. Definitely means a lot to me. And I can tell you, like, sitting in his workshop and office and just seeing the sheer number of guitars and craftsmanship that was in that place was very humbling. I've tried to do some woodworking myself in the past, and I can tell you that what he does is not easy. It's definitely a craft and a skill that takes years to perfect. And they're beautiful. And the Cracker Caster, we do have pictures of that. It's on the show notes. It's also on the website, greatthingstb.com. So go over there, take a look, or follow the link in the show notes. And now segment two. Your fact of the day. There are 80 million. Actually, I don't really know how many millions this is. It's 80 with 67 zeros after it. So there is that many ways to arrange a deck of 52 cards. And that is more than the number of atoms in the Earth. All right, so that's going to wrap up episode 30 for Great Things Tampa Bay. I hope you've been enjoying these past 30 episodes. Be sure to go back and take a listen to some previous ones. We got some good stuff back there that's pretty much applicable year-round, except for like the Florida State Fair, Florida Strawberry Festival. But all of the other stuff is still great. Hall and Franklin, still amazing. Mount Dora, still there. And Chief's Creole Cafe is still killing it with the Creole food over in St. Petersburg. So do be sure to go back and listen to our archives. If you have any questions or suggestions, please go to the website, greatthingstb.com. And along the top there, you'll find some links to submit your favorite restaurants or, this is a guitar episode. So if you are a musician or you know a musician, I actually do, I like to promote local musicians at the end of the podcast. So please just go there and submit your songs and, you might be featured at the end of one of my podcast episodes and you get like a shout out and all that stuff. Let's see what else. Also a local realtor. And if you're looking to find your own great place in Tampa Bay, I would love to help you out and find a new home for yourself. If you'd like to reach out to me in that aspect, again, just go to the website, greatthingstb.com. And at the top, you'll find a link to contact me for real estate related items. So playing us out today is Anya with Slide, which is a very fun kind of disco beat, kind of takes you back to that 70s thing without all of the, you know, the downside, or I guess upsides in some manners, but, you know, but very fun. It's got that funky 70s beat, and I'm just going to stop trying to describe this song because I'm not doing a very good job. Anyway, thanks for tuning in. Be sure to share us with a friend. And if you're interested in learning more about Coca guitars, or if you like this song, there's going to be a link in the show notes. So just pull up those details and you'll find it. So anyway, thanks again, and I'll see you next episode. Up in the